Drive-By on 2FM
with Colm Hayes.
It's Late Night Drive-By, Series 1, Episode 2, starring Colm Hayes and Al Porter. In this episode, they discuss coffee, tea, old women, sandwiches, funerals, sniffing carpets. Can sleep kill you? Ah, live from the RTE Social Club, what really happens in a radio interview? And also, our favourite innuendos. Ooh, hey, missus. It's on the way. I've never seen you drink a cup of coffee. Do you not like coffee?
I do like coffee.
It's our time. Do you drink coffee? Do you drink coffee on your own?
Yes.
Like, are you one of these people that you'll hide in the corner drinking coffee?
I drink coffee at night.
Okay.
I grew up on tea with my mam.
I could never drink tea.
No, she was tea mad. Mm. And we all grew up on tea. And I feel like since I moved from tea to coffee, I owe it to tea to at least have one a day. And my mother will offer me tea and I will have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee at the same time.
Oh, that's just ridiculous.
I'm sick, Colm. I'm very sick and yeah. I don't deny it.
I can't drink tea because my association of growing up with tea was funerals.
Really?
Yeah, when I was a kid and I was taking to funerals, the priest would always go, and the family would like you all to go to McDade's for tea and sandwiches. And then all the Alwyns would run down. They'd be drinking tea and
wet
sandwiches.
I have the same feeling about sandwiches that are cut into triangles. It's like associate funeral. Them with death.
Yeah.
Different family sandwiches taste different. I remember at my great aunt's funeral, my mam begging me to eat a sandwich made by Eileen's family because nobody was eating them and it was kind of embarrassing. But Eileen's family, like, you wouldn't have ate their sandwiches.
No.
But you wouldn't go near them. The Eileen's family, it looked like the cat had licked them.
Ah, did she have a cat?
I don't think so.
Ah, well then, that's even worse.
I know.
She's either letting cats in to lick them or she's licking them.
I know.
Would she have licked them before she made them?
What, the cats?
No, would she have licked her own sandwiches?
She might have, just to take a taste check.
But the other thing about sandwiches at a funeral was it was always really, really old women that were eating them. And the thing about really old women is they don't care anymore, right?
That's not true. Hillary Clinton still cares.
So when they eat, the manners are gone out the window. So their mouth is open like the Eastlink Tunnel, right? And then there's bits falling down all over them. And they don't care. And what they do is they scoop up the little bits of tomato and then lick it off their fingers.
That's wrong.
And then there might be their fella beside them who's at 95. And he'll go, I'll have a pint of Guinness. I know it's 11 o'clock in the morning, sure. Jesus, I'm 95. And then he's got sandwiches and Guinness on his moustache.
I don't think I've ever seen an old man eat a sandwich.
I'm telling you this one. I don't know whether he's my uncle or not, but he's this big old man and he used to dunk his sandwiches into the cream on the top of the Guinness.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Isn't it? You know, and they expect...
No, you're lying.
I'm not lying.
That's like something out of a Hitchcock movie.
No, he would do... Because you know, like
the man who dunks his sandwiches into the black stuff.
And he would just... yeah, there you go now. Oh, hey, Mara, give us another one. Give us one of Eileen. No, not Eileen. Has she been licking our sandwiches again? Yeah, I know.
You know, that's very odd.
Do you ever sniff a carpet in a pub?
That wouldn't be my thing.
Okay, well, I used to have to.
Right.
Because I was a lounge boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds kinky.
No. The manager would make you go around sniffing parts of the pub to see which were the smelliest, and then he'd bring the people in.
Ah, Jesus, Colm. You had to sniff parts of the pub like a dog.
You didn't go on all fours. It was like a standy-up dog, but he would go, Colm, I think...
Standy-up dog? Like they're a thing. I know, it was one of those standy-up breeds, yeah.
So
they're from South America. Yeah. One of those working dogs who's learned to walk on his hind legs. How close did you have to get to stuff to sniff?
You see, there were little areas, right? So this was a pub with about 10 little areas.
So you had to sniff its cranny.
So you'd go into areas and sniff.
What was wrong with their nose? Like, surely if they were bringing you to that area, they could then smell that area. So they were taking the piss out of you.
It's all about authority. It's all about moving up the chain. So when you got to being sort of head lounge boy, you never had to sniff areas anymore. That was like the chain of command. And when you owned the place, you then could decide who would sniff the area.
I think bad things happen to you that you don't even realise. I think there are several things that you think were a normal part of your upbringing that other people, especially councillors, would really worry about.
Anyway, sleep, yeah.
Oh, no,
so you came in and you needed...
I'm really tired. Yeah. I've got that thing, FOMO.
FOMO?
Yeah.
You're a FOMO.
I am. People have been saying it for years. Fear of missing out.
Oh, right, okay.
And when you have that, you don't sleep because you think that something better is going to go on while you're asleep. I had it all the time as a child. When I was a child, I'd be in bed, like just lying awake, just trying to listen to what's going on downstairs. I can't sleep until everybody else is asleep in my neighbourhood. Like, I've got to be the last one to go asleep.
And would you look out the windows if you see a light on in the bathroom 10 doors down, you go, no.
No,
that could turn into the best party I ever missed.
Bathroom lights are okay, but I do look out and kind of see, well, what's going on? And if there's still lights on downstairs or you see the flicker of a TV, I think, no, I'm not going to sleep yet. Other people are still enjoying their day.
Right, okay. And you feel that you will absolutely miss out.
Yeah.
Are you the last person to leave a party?
Yes.
It's that same thing, isn't it? You literally are standing there looking around, hello? Hello? Okay, and then you're ready to go.
I know somebody who had a party with Shane McGowan. They thought it was brilliant. This is recent.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't say this. Anyway.
Well, this could be 150 years.
They had a party with Shane, and Shane, they were delighted with him, so it's nothing defamatory, but they brought him back to the party. And
when you put in the word delighted, then you can never defame a person. I was delighted when he got arrested for that particular incident with the child.
Shane went back to the party. They thought that was great. He stayed until the early morning. Then he stayed for lunch.
Yeah.
And he didn't go home.
Really?
He stayed for 2 days.
At the party?
No, the party was well over. But he stayed for 2 days.
But the party was still in his head, wasn't it? Or he was just convinced he'd
miss him? No, the party was in his head. Maybe he had FOMO, but they said he was in a chair about 8 p.m. the next night. They were like watching Corrie.
Yeah.
Kind of going, you all right, Shane? And he was going, yeah. And they thought, well, just let him be.
I can't imagine Shane McGowan going to a party where the people who've organised the party, once the party's finished, watch Coronation Street. I can't imagine these big, huge rockers, you know, smoking the biggest joint ever, going, dude, Barlow, that was terrible, wasn't it?
But you see, they weren't the Shane McGowan types.
Okay.
They were having more of a chilled party.
But what about when you do go asleep and, because you were saying to me last week that you went to sleep and you just couldn't wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that about?
I unintentionally fell asleep at about 8 p.m, right? Yeah. And I woke up at 10 a.m. the next day.
That's great, isn't it?
It's 14 hours.
How did you feel? How did you feel about yourself? Did you feel that maybe you've missed out on a little bit of history?
Oh my God, I felt like I'd missed out on everything.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that my family had moved on. Right. I woke up the next day and everybody had gone to work.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd all moved out or died. I wasn't sure how long I'd been asleep for. I think 14 hours probably. No, yeah, it does count as a coma.
Does it? I don't know. 14. What is the. Did you check maybe the timing? Is 8 hours a really healthy sleep? 9 hours is, well, you're nearly packing it in there. 10 hours is, white, buddy. And 11 hours is, call the doctor.
And 12 is?
The doctor's there.
13.
The doctor's going to your mum. We need to talk about this.
I had 14 hours sleep, Colin. I'm not even trying to, you know, make a big deal out of it, but I think I was in a coma.
Was that 14 hours straight?
Straight.
Everything stopped. Your entire bodily movement stopped.
Unbroken.
You didn't need to go to the toilet.
I woke up, I swear to God, it was like I'd wet the bed, but you know what it was? Drool. Drool. My entire personality and mind left my body for 14 hours.
I wonder, did you die?
Oh my God.
Maybe. I wonder, maybe for an hour you die.
Yeah.
Can you remember
for
anything?
For an hour.
Yeah.
It seems like a long time.
No, your 13 hours was, your body was working up.
Working up to death.
Well, working, and then your body was going, because as you said, it just, everything gave up. So then your body just went, we just shut down everything.
Do you reckon my body tried to turn me off and on again?
Yeah.
Like a computer.
Yeah, like they shut down.
This isn't working. He is all over the place. He's a bit odd now. He's a bit, do you know what? Turn him off and on again. Turn him off. And they just turn me off. And
do you know when your screen is on for so long and nobody does anything with it and it just goes blank?
Yeah.
And then the screensaver goes on.
Yeah.
You don't have a screensaver.
Most people have a screensaver.
Yeah. Which is dreams.
Yeah.
Dreams are your screensaver.
You're right.
Yeah. You don't have a screensaver. You need to get a screensaver or you'll die the next time.
Oh my God, Colin.
Can sleep kill you?
Probably. Especially if you're driving.
Did you ever hear Rip Van Winkle?
Who? Is he a DJ? Is that Ricochet's old name?
Rip Van Winkle, right? It's a story from the American Revolutionary War.
Oh, lovely. When did that one happen? 17-something?
It was easily, yeah. And one autumn day, to escape his wife's nagging, Van Winkle wanders up a mountain with his dog, Wolf.
When in autumn? It's called fall in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearing his name called out, Rip sees a man wearing antiquated Dutch clothing. He's carrying a keg up the mountain and requires help. They're going off the piss.
Fair play.
Okay. Together they end up playing nine pins and then they fall asleep.
What's nine pins?
It's like bowling.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it just is bowling, actually.
Yeah. Rip doesn't actually ask who they are. How does his ma actually name him Rip? Is it short for something?
I think she named him after... I'm sorry.
You're going to say something very rude.
Yeah.
She named him after her space?
Yeah. And what he did to it.
Her opening?
Yeah.
You wouldn't, would you?
Well, what about Lilo and Stitch?
What was Lilo named after? Was that not Lilo?
Lilo, where she was conceived. Stitch, after what had to be put in.
Anyway, then he fell asleep.
Okay. And after playing nine pins.
And then he woke up.
Yeah.
His beard was a foot long. His dog is gone. He comes down the mountain.
Yeah.
He's been asleep for 100 years.
Fuck off.
No, seriously. He was asleep for 100 years.
100 years.
Yeah. And he finds another man in the village called Rip Van Winkle.
No.
Who's his son.
Wait, hold on. He's a 100-year-old son. That's ridiculous. 100-year-old son.
Mightn't have been 100 years. Oh, listen, sorry. It's not 100 years. 20.
What? He slept for 20 years. 20
years. 20 years.
Oh, well, that's better.
He slept for 20, came back down the mountain. The village has changed a little bit, obviously. You know, fresh paint and a bypass. And his son was there, another Rip Van Winkle.
But sure, he was in a coma.
He left his wife when she was pregnant. Or was that his son?
Oh, she was like, oh, sorry, yeah, I didn't move on. He was yours all along.
Just to finish, the whole idea of this, the story behind this, the message is that other people in the area where Rip lived, right, other henpecked men wish they could have shared in Rip's good luck and had the luxury of sleeping through the hardships of the American Revolution.
So he's just a lazy bastard.
Yeah. You were really busy last week because we had Al Porter's work night out.
Yeah, a lot of listeners came.
In the RT Social Club.
Yeah, from the main show, which the RT Social Club does sound a lot better than it is.
Does it? Which part? RT Social or Club?
The Social Club part. Okay. Those two words.
Yeah, well, because a Social Club I would always think is like a big gay club.
No, that's not what I imagined at all.
What
but
did
that
you
is
have?
What it turned out to be.
What were you thinking of?
When you said... you're going to do a gig in the RT Social Club.
Yeah.
I was thinking plush velvet, mm-hmm. red leather, you know, I was thinking...
Red leather on who?
Ingrid Miley.
Okay.
I was picturing like a Lily's Bordello, like a cabaret club from Vegas, like a social club, you know?
Okay, I
with
see
all the
you're
little
going, yeah.
tables and the little lamps around and the lounge boys, but not lounge boys who sniff... areas, but lounge boys in bow ties and little,
yeah.
you know, and Brian Dobson doing a line of coke and
yeah,
like that's yeah. just what I picture, you know, when Blonde is up on stage in a corset performing a burlesque.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
I thought that's what an RT social club would be. Like, it would be like cabaret, like a debauched kind of hedonistic world of this is what TV presenters get up to.
So the reality?
Just a gag club.
I'm going to bring what you is? This. So I'm going to bring you a little piece of you.
Oh, did you record that?
From the RT Social Club, so we can have a listen.
And I went home for Father's Day, which, as you know, was a very mysterious day in Tala. Oh, come on. Father's Day in Tala, it's like Halloween. Kids go door to door. How are you, Da? How are you, Da? The Square Shopping Centre has a line of cards for Father's Day that just reads, to whom it concerns.
Oh, dear.
My mate Sarah Ward, I probably shouldn't give you her full
name.
Jesus. Sarah Ward had two kids by the time we were in fifth year.
Yeah.
We used to call her Maternity Ward. Isn't that amazing? I loved Sarah, honestly, because she was the kind of girl that She would spend 10 minutes going to you, do you know what's mad about today? It feels like a Friday, but it's Thursday. But doesn't it feel like Friday, though? And you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's going, no, honest to God, like, I woke up this morning, right? And I was pure, like, got that Friday feeling. I was going out for the weekend, showing me a happy holiday plan. And then somebody goes to me, no, it's Thursday. I thought, that's mad, right? It was Wednesday. Her. Do you remember Olivia? I'll stop. And she used to say to Olivia, she used to be talking to her. One time I heard her go, do you know what's mad, Lib? I think I seen your fella with another girl in college. And she went, what? Do you see you? She goes, no, he didn't see me.
I thought it was funny. Afterwards, then we went and we had a few drinks in town. And then we went across the road to an Afghan kebab shop.
Oh, stop. It was nasty.
And these guys, two Afghan, they were brothers.
Yeah. Were they brothers? You remember far more about that than me. Now, yeah, I was off in space at this
stage. They were brothers, right? Now, we were eating. I have no idea what it was we were eating. But I mean, yours looked like, I have to say, looked like chicken vomit.
Jesus. It was, I mean, you've got to picture this. It was like the leftover bits of chicken that McDonald's wouldn't even put into a pulpy chicken nugget.
Yeah.
With a bit of green goo on it.
Yeah, and you had it.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So the two Afghan lads then copped who we were, right? And then you started demanding that they Google us, right?
I did not.
Yeah, you did.
I did not demand that they Google us. Maybe a little bit. I maybe asked them to Google us.
And then they got really excited. And then we agreed to go to Kabul.
We didn't.
We did. This summer, they said, we get you great comedy gig and you go to Kabul. And Colm, you do radio show on Radio Kabul.
Oh man, we were going to go and start our own Afghani career.
Doesn't Radio Kabul sound like maybe an explosion? Radio Kabul. It's just it's not a good name for that part of the world.
We took photographs there with them and everything. We told them we were famous.
Yeah.
I mean, we were lying.
3 days later.
Yes.
The next time around. Oh no, it was the Friday night.
Yeah.
And I left the pub. I went across and I went into the Afghan kebab shop.
Again.
It's like something magnetically is attracting me to this place. I don't know why. Right?
I wasn't with you this time.
No, I was on my own.
How was it?
I went in, up to the counter, and your man goes, hey, you want the usual?
The usual? You've only been there once.
Once, yeah. And I went, oh, yeah, usual, great. Yeah, I love the usual. Ah, yeah, you love usual. So now the thing he gave me looked nothing like what I'd had the days before. But what was really funny was, you know that drunken sort of state you're in? You're not sure what's going on?
Yeah.
And this small old lady came in, right?
Into an Afghan kebab shop
right?
At 1 a.m.
And she was about at least a foot and a half smaller than me. So I was just looking at the top of her head.
Right.
And she had a handbag and she had shopping. And she started shouting at the lads, demanding that one of them be fired because they were so rude to her.
Right.
Right. So this complaining lady, and the lads were
laughing at her.
That's an Afghan laugh.
Okay.
Right. And all I could think of, right, was looking at the top of her head going, I could just lean on you. Because I'm really tired.
You just wanted to lean on her.
Yeah, and I thought if I put my head on the top of her head, it was like a pillow.
Oh, a big granny pillow.
Yeah, and I'm thinking the complaining lady is shouting, and I fall asleep on her head.
I don't think do you reckon she would have moved? If you had done it, she wouldn't want to move for fear that you'd fall over.
And also
imagine you fell asleep for 20 years. And that elderly woman had to live the next 20 years of her life from 70 to 90 just propping you up. Oh, there's Mildred propping Colm Hayes up. But on this podcast, we can talk about things that we can't talk about on the radio.
Yeah, we can actually, yeah.
Because the radio is weird. I think that sometimes we have a topic and then we have to talk about it because we've invited somebody in and they've made an effort. Like, they've gotten in their car.
Yeah.
They've told people they're going to be on the radio.
Yeah.
They've driven. They come in. So we kind of owe it to them, even if we were bored shitless of them after 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Which usually we're not. But if we
are occasions, yeah.
We do owe it to them to keep talking. And the interviews kind of go round in a circle. I mean, I'm slagging us, but I'm also slagging other DJs who I won't name who I've heard.
So you think, well, you're here, you're sitting here. This interview is going to be 6 minutes long, so I'll just keep dragging the hole out of it.
Absolute dragging the arse.
Okay, so give me an example.
I heard an interview about a woman who wouldn't have children.
Yeah, okay.
And it was a choice. Yeah. She could, but she chose not to.
She chose not to, okay.
And it was a good 20 minutes long. And I'm pretty sure that every question was indeed the same question. And that every answer was a wonderful ability on her part to answer the same question in a slightly different way. It honestly went nowhere. It was incredible.
Because an interview with a woman who's chosen not to have kids, and that's her choice, should go as follows. Hello, Moira.
Hello.
So you've chosen not to have kids?
I wouldn't like to have kids.
Are you happy with that?
I am.
Okay, next week we'll be talking to a man who has decided that he loves his dog.
Hello.
Hello, Doug.
How are you?
Shep is your dog.
He is.
You love him?
I love him.
Okay, and you love him more than anything?
I do indeed.
Thanks very much, Doug.
You're welcome.
Okay, next week we're going to be speaking to a man who lost 300,000 at a table in Las Vegas. Tony.
Hello, Colin.
How much did you lose at a Las Vegas table?
€300,000.
How do you feel?
Awful.
Okay, that's the show.
And that is it.
That's the Late Late
that
Show.
That is it.
in 30 seconds.
It is, because every other question is the same question. So you be the woman now. You be the woman now.
Okay.
Hello, Maura.
Hello.
You've decided not to have kids.
I have.
And you're happy with that?
I'm very happy with it.
So you're not unhappy about that?
No, I'd be happy.
Do people ask you about it a lot?
A lot of people ask me about it a lot, yeah.
And when people ask you, do you tell them that you're not going to have kids?
Well, I tell them that it's a choice that I've made, that I don't want to have children.
And do they ask you, was it a choice?
They'll say, well, who made that choice?
And what do you say?
Well, I'd say I made that choice.
And do you tell them that you're happy about that?
I'll say, well, I made the choice and I'm happy with the choice I've made, and for that reason I don't want to have children.
And do they ask you, are you not unhappy about that?
Quite often they'll ask me, do I feel that on reflection that are you unhappy with the choice that you've made? And I'll say, no, the choice has been made purely out of happiness that I don't want to have children.
Do you ever see people with children?
I've seen people with children down the street.
And do you think that that's their choice?
I would often stop them and say, have you decided to have children? They say, yes, we've decided to have children. And I'd say, well, I don't want to have children. They say, is that your choice? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd say, are you happy? And I'd say, I am.
Thanks, Maura.
Thanks.
I'm allowed to, you know, I'm a bit of a dirty comic.
Yeah.
I'm not dirty, but I like blue humour.
I'm a bit of a dirty comic.
I'm not dirty, but I love blue.
Yeah.
And we're allowed to innuendo on radio.
Yeah.
But maybe not just say stuff outright.
See, an innuendo, I think the best innuendo has to happen when the people involved don't know it's an innuendo.
Yeah.
And so then suddenly people go, oh my God.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because I have brought to you a list of the best unintentional innuendos that were ever aired.
Really?
Or, aired isn't the word for radio.
Yeah, we're on air.
Aired, okay. On British TV and radio.
Excellent.
Okay. A New Zealand rugby commentator said, Andrew Mertens loves it when Daryl Gibson comes inside of him. A Ted Walsh horse racing commentator. This is a really lovely horse. I once rode her mother. It just sounds wrong. Harry Carpenter at the Oxford-Cambridge boat race in 1977. Ah, isn't that nice? The wife of the Cambridge president is kissing the cocks of the Oxford crew. US PGA commentator. One of the reasons Arnie, that's Arnold Palmer, is playing so well is that before each tee shot, his wife takes out his balls and kisses them. But he followed it with, oh my God, what have I just said?
One of the earliest ever was Fanny Craddock, right?
Fanny Craddock. Isn't that a great... always going to have an innuendo there.
Fanny Craddock was one of the first sort of Delia Smith's first celebrity chefs on TV, and she would make things that people didn't know how to make. And one week she was doing donuts, and she was shown how to get that lovely hole in the donut.
Yes,
and her husband would be there speaking to her while
and
she was
admiring it.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic. And then he turned to the camera and said, "Well, if you're all doing donuts at home across the weekend, I hope all your holes turn out like Fanny's."
That's brilliant. And he had no idea what he'd said.
No idea. Well, you're right. With the name Fanny, you're gone.
Look, a female news anchor, right, the day after it was supposed to have snowed and didn't, this is in Britain, turned to the weatherman and said, "So, where's that 8 inches you promised me last night?"
Oh, no.
Apparently, it was so funny that not only did, now I need to find the footage, did he leave the set?
Yeah.
But half the crew did as well.
They couldn't keep it together.
They could not keep it together.
Yeah.
It can happen.
It can happen. It can happen. And on that, that's another one.
Oh, yeah.
For the aliens to listen to.
That's number two.
Drive-by on 2FM.
With Colm Hayes.